But Deuteronomy 10, and we'll begin reading. We'll just pick up in verse number 12. Since we read the whole chapter this morning, we won't go back and read the whole chapter again. Amen. We'll pick up where we left off in verse number 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You tonight for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for loving us. Thank You, dear Lord, tonight for mercy and grace, dear Lord, that You bestowed upon us, dear Lord, that we truly don't deserve. Dear Lord, thank You for the opportunity to share the gospel, dear Lord, even with those who reject it. Dear Lord, that dear Lord, as we just do our part and sow the seed and let You bring the increase and do what You would will with it, dear Lord, in the hearts and lives of people, dear Lord. And I thank You, dear Lord, for the blessings, dear Lord, that You've given us. One of the blessings is to share the gospel, dear Lord, with the lost world. And we thank You for that. And dear Father, I pray tonight as we open Your Word once more, the book of Deuteronomy, dear Lord, and finish up what we talked about this morning of what You required of Israel, and look at these things and see how some of these things we can apply to our hearts and our lives today as principles, dear Lord. And I pray that You'd help us, dear Father, today. Speak to our hearts about our walk with You. And dear Lord, encourage us, strengthen us, and help us to leave rejoicing, dear Lord, and a new zeal, dear Lord, to go out and to serve You better, dear Lord, this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin this morning looking at verse number 12 after we talked about the background, where it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" And we said that the title was simply, "What does God require?" And we talked about, begin talking about things God requires. I didn't mention this morning, I meant to. I looked up the word require here, okay? Because usually when I think about require, there's a thought that immediately comes to my mind, I guess from where I am. I don't know if this would have popped any of you guys' heads or not. But I think about, when I see the word require, I think about the word requirement. In other words, I think about, in particular for where I am, I think about a job requirement. Amen. If you ever take and you look, especially online, job searching, I know Brother Gary's out there job searching now, right, Brother? Amen. But you out there job searching, and you start looking at the job description, or you could say the job requirements, right, are usually in there. I think about, there's a guy that I was talking about yesterday. Somebody said that, you know, that they had to quit their job that they had because, and I'm not saying anything negative or positive about the person, I'm just giving you some things about job requirements. I don't know the person. But the reason why they had to leave the job that they had, because one of the requirements that they thought they could do, but once they got the job, they figured out they could not do, that was too much for them to handle, was the job required them to be able to lift a single item that was at least 100 pounds repeatedly. And they could not take and do that job requirement. And so because of that, that's what was required for that job. It was in the requirement and everything, supposedly. They thought they could do it, but after doing it for a few days, they could not lift that 100 pounds of weight repeatedly over and over and over again. That's pretty tough. And so you think about the fact some jobs have requirements. I've read through several times our job requirements, and about every position that we have, for the most part at the store, it has in there lifting requirements. Now, it ain't 100 pounds, but sometimes there's some things that is 100 pounds, it feels like. But I think it's in ours, I think it's either 25 or up to 50, I think maybe is what it says, something of that nature. And so, you know, different jobs have different requirements. I remember some jobs I looked at in the past, you got to know computer skills, right? You got to be able to do a spreadsheet or those types of things. There's requirements, lifting, bending, up and down, whatever. All kinds of jobs have different requirements. Some of them require travel, right? This job requires travel. You got to be willing to travel, whatever. And so, and one requirement that all jobs require is for you to show up. And that's the hardest one we have with it, Bilo, just getting people to show up. But that's a whole nother story. But simply, there's requirements. And I looked up the word require here that's used, and here it has the idea of something that God is asking or desiring by command somebody to do. In other words, God is asking Israel, He desires of Israel to do this, and He's commanding them to do this. I thought that command was especially interesting as a way of describing this word require, because when we read the first 11 verses, one of the things it was talking about was what? The Ten Commandments. And so God was telling Israel here again, this is what I'm requiring of you. This is what I'm commanding, if you will, for you to do. I'm asking you to do these things. This is what I require of you. This is what you need to do. And we started looking at them this morning. The first thing we said is it says to fear the Lord thy God. Amen. And we talked about how we need to fear God and have a right fear of the Lord. And we pointed out those words, thy God. He's got to be your God. And then the second thing it says here, we talked about this morning, it says to walk in all His ways. Amen. To walk in His ways, not to walk in our way, not to walk in the way of the world. Amen. But to walk in the ways that God would have us to. Amen. What way are we walking in? And we talked about the broad way and the narrow way just a little bit, and about setting our affection on things above and not on things of this earth. So you think about simply the fact here, he said to fear the Lord, walk in all His ways. And then he gives us the third thing, which is where we pick up tonight. And it says, and to love Him. Amen. And to love Him. I think simply, you know, I'll be honest with you tonight. I think that if we're all honest, we need to love the Lord more. I know we say that lightly sometimes, but that's something that we ought to really let, with the Lord's help, sink down in our hearts. You say, but I love the Lord. I didn't say you didn't love the Lord. I didn't say that. I said, love the Lord more. Amen. Even Peter, as great of a disciple as he was, as good of a man as he was, even as much as he was definitely bold for God, if there ever anybody was that was bold, it was Peter in the Bible. We might could argue he was the boldest one, you know. He was bold. Sometimes he was so bold he stuck his foot in his mouth and got himself into trouble. He was too bold. He needed some temperance in there with that, if you will, you might say. But you think about here, the Bible said to love Him. Even when the Lord Jesus took and He asked Peter, He said, lovest thou Me? You're familiar with it. Peter said, well, you know, Lord, that I love You. And of course, we could get into, and you've heard before, talked about the word that Jesus used for love was the agape, the same love that God has for us. But Peter answered back with the phileo, which is the type of love that we have as a brother, a brotherly love, which is still love, but it's not to the same level of love, right? And he took and he asked him again. He said, hey, Peter, do you love Me? He did it again, same answer again. Then the third time, he did it again, and he realized then the fact that he didn't love the Lord like he ought to. And Peter told him, of course, the Lord told Peter in there as well, feed My sheep. You think about the fact tonight, I'm simply saying that our love for God, we all could go a little deeper on. Our love for God, we all could do and have a little more love for. Amen. I think about, you know, that our love for God, I believe, is something that needs to grow every day. Amen. Just like we need to grow in the Lord, our love for Him ought to grow every day. Amen. We sing songs sometimes. I thought about, you know, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter. You know that song? And those types of things. And I think, you know what? It should get sweeter because we fall in love with Him more every day. Amen. We grow to love Him more every day. You think about tonight, folks, we ought to have a deeper and a stronger love for the Lord. They were to love the Lord. When I seen this verse here and this phrase, it says, and to love Him, and I'm going to jump ahead for about 2 seconds, and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, it reminded me of something. It reminded me of another verse of Scripture, if you will, and we'll get into that verse here in just a second, but something that was said in the New Testament. You think about tonight, our love for God is important. Jesus said in John chapter 14, this phrase also reminded me of this. It says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Amen. And I've always, again, His what? Commandments. What God requires. Amen. We're talking about what God requires. And one of the things is to love Him. And we can always gauge how much we love Him by how much we obey Him. Amen. You think about simply tonight, if we want to please God, like we ought to please God, we'll obey Him. You know, I've said this many times before, but I think it bears needing to be repeating. I was listening to a preacher this week, and he was preaching about the crowns that one day we're going to get when we get to heaven. And boy, I tell you, I want a crown. Amen. I want a crown to cast at the feet of Jesus. Amen. That's what those crowns are for. Amen. I hope the Lord can, you know, you talk about the soul winner's crown and those that, you know, looking for the Lord's appearing and you know, the martyr's crown. And I believe there's five different crowns that there is that we can win. I want to have one of those crowns. Amen. I want to have at least one. Amen, Brother Gary. I like to have more than that, but at least one of those crowns. I don't want to be like the song says, "Must I go in empty-handed before God?" Amen. I want to take and have at least one crown. May not have the most crowns. Amen. May not have all five like some people, like Paul and some others probably do. But Lord help me, I want to have at least one crown to take and to lay down at His feet. Amen. And you think about tonight, that's important. To try to, you know, realize there is crowns. There's a race to be won, running for that goal, that prize, if you will. But really, we'll win a crown, I've always believed, and we'll win those crowns and the specifics of them that we could get into. We'll have a crown if we run our race loving the Lord like we ought to. If we run our race loving the Lord like we ought to, we'll live for Him like we ought to, we'll soul win for Him like we ought to, we'll do the things we ought to do if our love for Him is right. You think about where we go wrong a lot of times is where we don't love Him as much as what we ought. Where we take and have our affection, our love, our desires set on the wrong things. You think about tonight, He said, and to love Him. May the Lord help us to love Him more. He said, if you love Me, Jesus says, keep My commandments. Today I ask how many of us in the room would maybe be like Peter and say, Lord, help me, I need to love You more. Lord, help me. I need a deeper love for You. Lord, help my love to grow for You more and more every day. As Peter finally admitted that his love wasn't where it needed to be. I had here at the end of this, may the Lord help me and help us to love Him more today than yesterday. Amen. And may He help us to do the same thing every day in our lives. Then he goes on and the next thing, the fourth thing that he says that God requires of Israel was, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When I seen this phrase, it reminded me of another place in Scripture, Matthew chapter number 22, if you want to turn there. And actually, this is recorded where Jesus said this more than just in the Gospel of Matthew, but we'll just look at one of them. You can look at some of the other Gospels where it was recorded. I think it was Mark and maybe John. It was three of them, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't write them down. But Matthew 22 and verse number 34. Matthew 22 and verse number 34. Matthew 22 and verse number 34. The Bible says here, but when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. In other words, Jesus had confounded them, right? As they were trying to, you know, come with their questions like they always do. So Jesus shot them down, took care of them, so it's okay, next man up, right? Next man up. Here comes the next group in to take and to ask Jesus their questions. And so here came them in, it says in verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer. Uh-oh, that's never a good thing, is it? Hardly, right? Brother Gary, you think you get a lawyer involved, that's, you know, they don't have a good reputation, most of them, right? But there is some good lawyers out there. You find one, let me know. No, I'm just kidding. There is some. But here was one that was a lawyer that knew the law. Ask him a question. Notice these next two words because they're key. This man was not asking a question because he was wanting to know the right answer. He wasn't asking a question because he was seeking Jesus' wisdom, if you will, or seeking the truth. He was asking for a reason, tempting Him. He had an ulterior motive, we would say, right? He was trying to tempt Jesus, test Jesus, trip Him up, just like a good lawyer does today, right? You know, some of the best lawyers are the sneakiest, crookedest ones, right? That can take and twist somebody in a circle and you don't even know what you're saying by the time you get done and you done said at the end, it's like you said, I'm guilty. And you didn't even do nothing, right? You know? And they just got you all twisted in circles. And here, the lawyer, that's what he was wanting to do, tempting Him, but he was dealing with Jesus here, right? Not me and you. And saying, Master. So he tried buttering him up, right? Master, which is the great commandment in the law? In other words, we would say, what's the greatest commandment, right? You look at one of the other occurrences, I think it uses that phrase, what's the greatest commandment? What's the biggest one? What's the most important one, if you will? Which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Does this look familiar to you? Looks familiar to me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Let's stop right there just for a second. So Jesus answers his question by first off saying, hey, this is the first commandment, and it's the great commandment. He said, the first one and the great one is that you need to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. The same thing that was said in Deuteronomy that the Lord required of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ tells him that is required here, that is the greatest commandment, that you love the Lord with all thy heart. You think about tonight, that draws us back to what we just talked about and to love Him. Amen? To love Him, but here you think about and to love Him and to serve Him with all our heart. If we love Him with all of our heart and love Him the way He requires us to, then guess what? We'll serve Him with all our heart too. Amen? If we serve Him with all our heart, if we love Him with all our heart, we'll serve Him with all of our heart. I always find the order of Scripture important and amazing. You say, why do you say that? Because simply, if you look back in Deuteronomy, what did He mention first? Love, then what? Serve. If our love's right, then we'll do what? We'll serve. Here He says, hey, He says, love the Lord with all thine heart. Now I ask you, you think about the heart, you and I think about the organ inside our body that beats, right? You know, it pumps the blood, if you will, and does all the important things that the heart does. Amen? You think about the heart is the seat of our emotions when we think about it and when we talk about it a lot of times in Scriptures. We're here to serve God, if you will, with everything within us, within our heart. Amen? That's what He's saying here, to love the Lord with all your heart. We ought to love Him. He said here, you look at it with Deuteronomy, we ought to love Him with all our heart and we ought to serve Him with all of our heart. I ask us tonight, are we serving the Lord and loving the Lord with all of our heart? Are we? Are we serving Him and loving Him with all of our heart? We are to serve God with everything within us, if you will. When I think about and I see like this verse in Scripture, I've always thought about one thing. My mind can't help but go back to sports. My mind can't help but do it. Because I think about the old saying about a basketball player especially, or football, but I guess it started with basketball. You hear it more often. About that person, they left it all on the court. Amen? They left it all out there on the field. They might lose. They went out there, though, and they played their hearts out. Amen? And I tell you, that's what you and I ought to do. Amen? We ought to leave it all out there for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Do all that we can do for Him, if you will. And here you see that He took and He left it all out there, if you will. And that's what we ought to do. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Amen? Love Him with all your heart, with your innermost being. We should serve God. You know, there's a lot of times we talk about we need to do this. God's Word says do this. And I'll be honest with you. One of the things that we was talking about sometimes, questions and things in Sunday school. And a lot of times the first thing that pops in my mind when we think about doing something for God is I'm like, well, that's what the Bible tells us to do. I'll be honest, right? You know, we need to soul win. We need to witness. We need to pass out tracts, right? That's what the Bible tells us to do. We ought to do it. But you know what? More than that, we shouldn't just be doing it because that's what the Bible says. That's what we ought to do. Just like we shouldn't do it because I want to win a crown. Instead, we should be doing it because I love the Lord. Amen? That's what it's really about. And you think about here, it's what his heart was in. That's what he's saying here. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, if you will. With all of our heart, we should serve God because we're told to in His Word, yes. But even more than that, we should serve Him and we should love Him with all our heart. Why? Because we love Him. Amen. We should have a desire in our heart to please Him. Notice it says another thing in verse 37, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Amen. The soul. You think about the soul as a unique thing. You say, what do you mean by a unique thing? Well, the soul's the part of us that really is who we are. Because once we, our life here on this earth is over, this body, it goes back to dust, right? It returns to that dust. But yet that soul, does it stay here? Does it return to dust? No. It goes to one of two places, right? It'll spend eternity in one of two places, either heaven or hell. And you think about that soul is what lives on. That's why we sing the song sometimes, used to, I think it's in the hymn book that we don't use as much. It talks about where the soul of man never dies. Amen. You know, your soul lives on. And so you think about the fact the soul's the innermost part of who and what we are. We're to serve God, it says here, with all our heart, yes, but with all our soul. Amen. Even down to the deepest part. Amen. With all our soul. You think about tonight, are we, if you will, loving and serving the Lord with all of our soul? Amen. With all of our soul. You think about tonight, how about us? Are we serving and loving the Lord with all of our soul? But then he goes on to say one other area, and with all thy mind. I thought that was interesting that you think about that one would be last. Because a lot of times we, you know, our mind is what, you know, drives us. But here, that's the last thing mentioned. First off, it's the heart, and then it's the soul, and then he mentions the mind. You think about the fact tonight, we ought to serve the Lord and love the Lord with all of our mind. Amen. And you think about, that's how we ought to serve God. And notice with me, turn back, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter number 10, and we'll look on at a couple of more things kind of along this same point, if you will, to kind of close out the message, and we'll be done. Here he said in verse number 12, he said, "And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul," with everything within us, we could say, "to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I commanded thee this day for thy good." We read this morning, but let's read it again. "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord, the Lord's thy God. The earth also, with all that therein is." In other words, everything is God's. Amen. Notice, "only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers." Who's he talking to here? Israel, right? We saw that in verse number 12. In other words, the Lord, if you will, had a special love and a delight concerning the children of Israel. Amen. And you know, the thing that amazes me is God chose Israel out of all those people, right, and all those nations in the world to be His chosen people. Let's read on a little bit farther. It says here in verse 15, "Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you," it says, talking about Israel, "above all people as it is this day." They were a special people to God, Israel was. Amen? They were a special chosen people, a special chosen nation before God. God blessed Israel like a way that He's never blessed anybody before. And that brings us to the day and time that we live in today. We ought to take and pray for and bless Israel too. Amen? I'm not saying tonight that Israel's godly in everything they do. We know they're not. I'm not saying Israel's not a wicked country, because in a lot of ways there is a lot of wickedness in things. There's a lot of wickedness here too. Amen? But you know what? They're still God's chosen nation. They're still God's chosen people, and God ain't done with them yet. You read on and you see that, of course, later on in the Bible. And we need to take and pray for Israel. The Bible says those that bless them, God will bless. Those that curse, God will curse. And I tell you, there's a lot of people running down Israel and things nowadays. And boy, may help us not to ever do that, and help our country not to ever get to be forsaken Israel like a lot of others have. Here we see the Bible says that they were above all the people as it is this day. And then he says in verse 16, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart." Not talking about the physical act of circumcision here, but he's talking about their heart. Amen? Realizing their heart and how they're supposed to live and be clean and pure and different from the world, if you will, and the things that they do. "And be no more," unlike this, "stiff-necked." Israel was a stiff-necked people, wasn't they? We're reading all this because he's given some more things that he requires of them. Didn't really put them into points. We could have put some of these things. But God's saying, hey, don't be no more stiff-necked. I don't know about you, but I don't use the word stiff-necked unless you have a stiff neck, right? Unless, you know, you got, I think Diane had problems a while back, didn't you, Miss Diane? And thankfully, she can move her head pretty good right now, so thank the Lord for that. But you get stiff-necked sometimes. and you can't move your neck and it starts hurting. Mama's had those things, some of y'all others have, and your neck gets to hurting, and boy, it's pretty painful. But what does he mean here by stiff neck? Was Israel's neck hurting them? Did they need to go to the chiropractor or go get some good medicine or something from the doctor? No, he was talking about the fact they were stubborn. Amen. They were stubborn. They were stiff-necked, Israel was. In other words, God took and we see this all throughout their history. God would take and tell them what to do. What would they do? They'd disobey. What would God do? He would punish them, right? And then they would come back to God. They'd ask His forgiveness. What would God do? Forgive them. That's what the whole book of Judges is pretty much about. Back and forth and all around in a circle, just round and round and round of how they took and they disobeyed God. God punished them. God took them, gave them punishment, took them into captivity. They turned around. God forgave them, got them out of that, sent a judge. As long as the judge lived, everything was good. The judge died. What happened? They went right back in the same shape again. You think about, they were stiff-necked. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Be no more stiff-necked. You think about, though, when I think about that, I think about us a lot of times today. You say, what do you mean? Well, think about sometimes some of the things in our lives that we struggle with. Some of the things that we know better than to do or know better than not to do. We're stubborn about things. God will take, He'll convict our hearts. He'll say, you know that's wrong. You know you shouldn't be doing this. And that'll flare back up and we'll take and we'll do it again. We'll go back to God. We ask and it just... He says, don't be no more stiff-necked. God doesn't want us to be stubborn. Amen. He wants us to be like David was, a man after God's own heart that took and confessed those things and got them right, was broken before God. Amen. And then went on and served the Lord. He said, be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods. Amen. He's above all the gods. He's Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. That ties in with kind of what we was talking about a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Love ye therefore the stranger. And I thought this was interesting. He says, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Amen. They were strangers there. That wasn't their hometown, was it? That wasn't their home country, Egypt. But they were strangers there, if you will. And he says, remember, you were strangers once too. Verse 20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. There's that again. We talked about that this morning. Him shalt thou serve. We talked about that, right? So I'm not going to go back and talk about that again. And to Him, notice this, shalt thou cleave and swear by His name. You think about tonight, we ought to cleave to the Lord. Amen. We ought to serve Him. Try to do what the Lord wants Him to do. And that's what Israel was to do here, was to be steadfast for the Lord, to cleave to Him. Verse 21, He is thy praise and He is thy God. He ought to be our praise today. That hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. God done a lot of great things for Israel. Amen. A lot of great things up to this point, and then He was getting ready to do a whole lot more great things with them. You think about, and God says, hey, He says, your eyes have seen these things. Thy fathers went down into Egypt. I mentioned this morning with 70. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Notice verse 1, and we'll stop with this verse. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, there it is again, and keep His charge, and His statutes, and His judgments, and His commandments. Notice the last word of verse number 1. Always. May the Lord help us to always do what the Lord requires of us. Amen. I think tonight the Lord desires for us to fear Him just like He wanted Israel to. I think He desires of us tonight to walk in His ways. He desires of us tonight to love Him. And I think He requires of us tonight as well to take and to serve Him with all the breath that He gives us. Let's pray.